recording. We're recording. Hello.
We're recording. Hello.
Welcome back.
Yay.
It's been a long time.
I know, hasn't it?
So much has changed in the world.
Oh my God. Yes, but we're back. We're back at the park.
Oh, we do
but
love
it's a good park. Right. Where
and we have a little studio set up, which we're going to share on our Facebook page and Insta, so you can have a look at how technologically advanced we are in our podcasting.
It's pretty high tech, yeah.
So high tech.
Yeah.
To visualize, we've got a notebook as a sound protection board held up by a pencil case on one side and your handbag, which is really lovely. I quite like that handbag.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a good throw-it-in bag.
Yeah, that's a great bag.
Love those.
Gust of wind. Hope this is okay.
Oh, look, you know what? It's natural.
Yeah.
I think one thing that COVID's done for us is we've grounded. We're a bit more natural, less makeup.
I'm just so excited we're here.
I'm excited to see another human being.
I know, that's nice. Who's not related by blood.
He's not in my official bubble. It's like we're in a lockdown without being in a lockdown.
It's very weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's so strange. With every decision about going out and what to do. And
there's like 10 million checklists and then a rat.
Yeah, exactly.
And so many things. I mean, we were just saying, last time we met was also in Centennial Park, just as the COVID restrictions from lockdown were easing. And we could picnic.
We could picnic.
In groups of 10, no more.
I know, and we were laughing about those girls on neatly divided into three picnic rugs.
And then we were talking about how for my birthday I was going to have 20 people, but we would have two groups of 10
that would
generally rotate. And I'm like, seriously? And we were freaking out about how many? 1,300 at its peak. And then we went up to 90,000 in early January.
That daily. So, yeah, so I was down in Melbourne with the family, and every morning my brother and I were going on a big bike ride, and then we'd meet my mum for coffee. My husband for coffee, and then each day we were watching it clock up in Sydney, and it just bizarre. Like I'll forever remember that summer as the summer we just, and after a while we just stopped looking because
absolutely. For me, it was a summer of waiting in lines,
bizarre.
Waiting in lines to get a COVID test. I got three done in order to get to Queensland, and each one was between an hour and a half to 4 hours. The one in the middle, which was 3.5 hours, was a stand-in walk-in one. I read a whole book, which I'll talk about in our podcast today.
Turning it into an opportunity.
Absolutely. And then potential like butt exercises whilst waiting as well. I mean, what else do you do when you're in a COVID line?
Got a pelvic floor, like
excellent.
100% better.
100% better.
After those
Thank
cues.
You, COVID. Seriously. Anyway, but life does go on.
Go trampolining without a worry in the world now.
Oh, I tell you. Watch out, Will. Here I come.
Look, Nat, a whole page of notes while I was waiting for you.
Very impressed.
Today, so that's good. I'm
but
so organised.
The truth is, I mean, I read so many books, I've watched so many things. I don't think we've done anything.
Have you remembered any of it?
I did remember a lot of them, but I only picked out the best ones. But I'm a little embarrassed. Well, not embarrassed, but the fact is, a lot of them are based on your recommendation. So I don't want to go too much into them,
It's
like a lot of them you read, and then I was highly inspired.
Okay.
But I'm also very excited about the coming books. I've got a few books on my bookshelf that are coming that I'm like.
Okay, and I have a giant bag for your mum too.
Yay!
So.
Awesome.
Yes.
So good. So should we dive in?
Let's dive in. Let's
Woo-hoo!
Dive in. Okay, you kick off.
Okay, so as I was saying, I was so inspired by all your Sarah Winman stories. I couldn't resist. So I've now read Still Life, When God Was a Rabbit, and Year of Marvelous Ways. Oh my God.
So I haven't read the last one. I've just...
Oh,
hang on, is that the new one? Is that a new one? Because I've ordered it.
I think it must be.
I think I've ordered it. Yep.
Okay.
It's on my bookshelf. It's pristine. No, it's coming.
You can't cancel it?
No, it's
arrived.
Because
I can give it to you.
It's arrived.
Okay.
God was a rabbit.
More coordinated.
Did you love it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like,
gorgeous.
My absolute favourite, though, was Still Life.
Yes.
Of the three.
What a cracker.
Right? It was just literally like a still life. I mean,
it was like a still life.
I felt like I was in a painting, and in the art, and in the time.
And wasn't it lovely the way it was sort of not so much, it wasn't plot driven, but it had a lovely kind of, had a lovely pace to it. That was just
life.
It was just life.
But in the most
goosebumps just thinking about that book.
What I love about her writing is the minutiae, the detail, the most ordinary things, particularly like as a child, the things that are observed when God was a rabbit, like this child who sees things happening but doesn't quite understand it, and then the context that comes in later, and these beautiful personalities, that come in and weave through our lives, and we all have them, and it's just... it's just magic. I read it because it's not like it's about a story that's unbelievable. In any way, like you know, some books you read and you just kind of put it down and go, whoa, that was the most amazing story. They're all gentle.
They're very gentle, yeah.
And but still amazing
as
well.
And even that, in still life, that when the flood comes through Florence, and the, like, you can just about smell, you can smell the city in that, like, you're right, her detail and the way she draws characters, just beautiful, just beautiful.
And look, without sounding too snobby, I have been to Florence quite a few times. Great. So I actually knew a lot of the areas that she was talking about and I could visualize it. And so that gave me such a richness, not just the bridge, but the streets, the squares, the everything. And I love Italy. It's one of my favorite countries, and Florence is up there in Florence, my top few cities. It's just magic and old, and being there in winter, I've been there in summer, and just
glorious. And I love that.
I actually want to read it again.
Well, I love that she weaves E.M. Forster into the story. Yes. And that's when I went as a very young person.
Yes.
And of course, I've got Room with a View in my backpack, the book. And so I thought that was just a lovely little circular.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Circular journey to have him. And he was such a lovely character in that book too.
Oh,
and
so good.
Gorgeous.
It just, I just really, it was the perfect books. And I read some over summer, some before summer, but they were just, oh, just
that
magic.
Was like, yeah, that was my, it I was think like that was a, my book of the year last year. Still,
yeah, me too. It was like a cup of warm tea.
Yeah, it really
on a
was,
cold
wasn't
day.
It
was just divine. So comforting and beautiful and nourishing and just yum.
Fabulous.
Thank you. So if you haven't read Still Life, people, or any of Sarah Winman, now she does have a new one also coming out, I think.
Yeah, so now I'm confused.
So
about
she had
which one
Tin
I've
Man,
got.
Which I that. Haven't got. I haven't been able to buy because it's out of print at the moment. I'm going to try and get it at the library.
Yeah, and look, I don't think that's like, I don't such think it's the strongest book. Like a good read, but nothing like the others.
Okay.
Like, I feel, I wonder
but I do
where
think there is
her.
A new one that's coming out separate to The Year of Marvelous Ways, because I bought The Year of Marvelous Ways last year for Mum. And there is a new 2022 book coming out, I think.
Yeah,
I could be completely wrong.
About which one I've got.
We'll
look. Check in with that.
And the other book, two more. So this book, my mum lent it to me. Mama, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to lend it on to Liz. I'm sure she'd be fine with it because I know she listens. For some reason, I'm talking to her.
I'll be careful.
Love our mothers listening.
I'll use a bookmark.
Yes, no, it's all good. It is called The Smallest Lights in the Universe.
Ooh.
It is, or don't worry, it's all going to be in the show notes, Liz.
Okay.
You can
take
a You went to write notes.
Rummage from
you
my
don't
pen.
Have a pen, but it will be in the show notes that I will write up. So it's by Sarah Sager. She's a professor of physics and planetary science, and she's an actual astrophysicist. I was actually practicing that in the car on the way here. You know how there's certain words that you sometimes stumble? Astrophysicist is one of those for me.
Well, like anaesthetist.
Exactly. So it's the premise is it's a true story. It's based on her, and I'm not giving anything away by saying the following. Her husband dies of cancer very early on in the book, and the book is all about her growing up, meeting this most amazing man, then having children with him, and then him getting cancer, and the period of him passing away, and then her grief. Meanwhile, her career is exploding. And she's discovering multiverses and planets and exoplanets, and is an incredible mind whilst also being diagnosed with autism. It is the most raw and honest book. It is beautifully written. It's got science, it's got family, it's got love, it's got dealing with autism, but in an incredibly honest, non-judgmental, beautiful way. It is gut-wrenching, but incredible. And she wrote it. She's an incredible author.
Okay.
I mean, the talent of some people is incredible. And actually, again, hot cup of tea on a winter's night kind of thing. Like, just despite the harrowing nature of the book, stunning.
Wow. Okay.
Another
send it
next
my
to
way.
Still. That's okay. Still Life, still number one. This was my number two.
Oh, great.
And the book that I read whilst in the queue, small book, but really lovely, got it for Christmas from my partner. It's called Before the Coffee Gets Cold.
Yeah.
Have you heard this one?
Well, my daughter's got it on her nightstand. So is this the Japanese author? Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
It's about a time-traveling cafe where you go and sit down and you have a cup of coffee, as we do. Cheers.
Cheers.
And
good coffee today.
Very nice coffee today, thank you. literally having coffee as we're talking about this book, Before the Coffee Gets Cold. And it's all about that you can either go generally back in time, but you can also go forward in time.
You can choose?
You can choose. But there's a whole lot of rules around what you can and can't do. But you can also get stuck in that time if you don't. And you have to have the conversation with the person in the cafe. Sorry about that, folks. We had a phone call.
Yes.
We need to write a letter to Anchor to find a way to ensure that when using your phone as
maybe
your...
flight mode.
Ah, thank you, Liz. Hack number one, put phone on flight mode. Okay, we will do that next time.
Okay.
Oh, it's from Bunnings. There you go. Oh, my order must be ready. Thanks, Bunnings. Everything's online these days. So, we were talking about Before the Coffee Gets Cold. It is by, and I apologize if I don't pronounce the name correctly, Toshikazu Kawaguchi.
Nice.
Okay, so it's a beautiful book, not very long, very thin. There's probably, I think, 4 or 5 stories that are interlinked. The characters are interlinked. There is some continuity in generational stuff. It is a lovely, gentle story, easy to read, great for your daughter's age, 15,
yep.
Could even be an avid 14-year-old, 13-year-old reader. It is stories about loss and of how people would change the conversations that they have with people and how
So
to do things. Yeah, so there is that sort of like living in regret, living in a place of wanting to try and change things, but then technically you're not allowed to. But how do you not do that if you're going back in time? Anyway, it's a really fascinating book around certain concepts around time travel and what would you do differently if you had the chance. So a soft, gentle book. I think the Japanese, a bit like our other favourite Japanese author from Clara and the Sun, and I've forgotten his name, but I know he's super famous.
Ishiguro.
Thank you. Oh, Liz, I know I always rely on your wonderful memory. Also, such gentle works. It's like French film.
Yep,
it's like you can just know. Like, it's never harsh. It's never intense. It's like, I mean, it can be, but there is this beautiful nature to the way that authors write. And I just really enjoyed it.
Fabulous. So they're I'm gonna have to sneak in and borrow her book during the day when she's at school because she doesn't like me to borrow her books.
Oh, yes, you've got to do that.
Sacred books.
Yeah, it's like the secret cleanup in the bedrooms when they don't know, they don't realize that you've cleaned up the packet of chips that they threw in the top drawer. We're trying to hide the fact that we had junk food in our bedroom. Yet it's never mentioned when they go and they see that the chip packet is gone the next day. No mention of it ever happens. That's so funny. Actually, I do have a quick side note of a story about cleaning up your child's bedroom. So one day I was cleaning up my child's bedroom. Though my children are very good. I make sure they clean. But I was just doing an extra thorough one because sometimes food does sneak in and then, you know, there's animals and stuff and, like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, totally. I found that game. I think it's called Bad People.
I don't know it.
Or Bad Humans. No, it's not the human one. I think it's called Bad People. It is so rude and so X-rated. Like, even, like...
Was it hidden?
Yeah. There's stuff about anal beads, pedophiles, dildos. And then there's questions about, like, really ethical... Not ethical, but, like, what would you do? But, like, loads of sexual stuff.
I have not heard of this. This is
gangbangs. I mean, like, seriously, I know we're a plus 18 range, so then nobody's going to get offended by what I'm saying. Anyway, so it's in my daughter's drawer. And at the time, she would have been 15 when I found it. Now, context here, my daughter's not like an angel, like no one is, but she's a pretty kind of like low risk, shy, kind of not out there kind of person, and she's not someone who's going to be into that kind of thing. So I was really quite confused. I was like, what am I finding here? I don't understand. How do I bring this up with her? Anyway, so I took the box out and I put it to the side, and then after school we were sitting down having a cuppa, as we sometimes do, and we were just chatting, and then I casually said to her, hey, look, I was just, you know, as I do, clean your room, and I found this thing. And she goes, Mama, and she still calls me Mama. Like, how sweet. I mean, she's about to get her driver's license now and doing HSC, but she still calls me Mama, which I love.
Very
and she goes, I got this as a birthday present and I was mortified and I didn't know what to do with it. So I put it in my drawer to hide and I wanted to talk to you about it, but I didn't know what to do. I don't want it. It scares me. It scares me. And she goes, I opened a couple of the cards and I had to quickly close it because I just didn't know what to do. So I was like, don't worry, just give it to me. And I gave it to someone else. I tried playing it a couple of times, but it was just so... I didn't enjoy it.
That's
not that I'm a prude by it or anything. It just wasn't even that funny. Like, I love... There's some really funny things out there, but that was not one of them. Anyway, so yes, finding things in your children's room. What's the strangest thing you've ever found, just out of interest?
Well, I must say, I try and not... I don't delve in there. I kind of... skirt in sometimes and grab the washing and go.
Yeah, so
I do try and not, and they're pretty good.
So the people, nothing too.
Thursdays, stuff has to be off the floor so the vacuum can come through. I'm not pushing that vacuum, by the way. Just to be clear.
Fair enough.
But that's the rule. So nice. And I base that on the fact that my room was a total pigsty.
Yeah.
From, I don't know, 14 onwards.
Yeah.
And my mum, bless her soul, she's so tidy and so organized and she's never said a word, but we're responsible for our own uniforms.
Yep.
Getting our lunches ready, so if the uniform was dirty, we wore a dirty uniform. So it was kind of like, yeah. And so I've kind of gone with that. I mean, I do go and ask for the washing, but they've got a basket. So yes, I don't really go in. And between the three kids, there's a spectrum of immaculate,
I know exactly.
Middling,
what you're
middling, and then
I know exactly which ones.
Yeah, so
and it does not go in age order.
No, it does not go in age order. And the super tidy one.
Yes.
It's so tidy that I can take zooms in there if it's too noisy downstairs, and I get always a comment on the background.
Yeah, they've got taste, that one.
And I sit in there thinking,
style.
This has got real zen.
They've got zen. No, look, I'm a bit of a hard
ass. That's the reader's room, yeah.
So a couple of years ago when I lost my job and I wasn't working and I had to let the cleaner go, and I haven't brought them back in yet.
Oh.
Despite working.
Well, hats off.
So I'm telling you why, because I've decided. So I do the lunches because one of the two children is so bad at making their lunch that all they would have is literally two pieces of bread with nothing inside of it.
Yes, yeah.
And nothing of nutrition. So from a health perspective, I do provide, but no, they clean their own rooms once a week.
Yeah, okay.
But that includes dusting and vacuuming, and then between the two of them they alternate on who dusts and who vacuums the house.
Nice.
I do bathrooms, toilet, laundry, kitchen.
Yep.
Because I kind of think that's a whole bacterial situation.
Yeah.
But the rest, and then they do, and then with washing, we alternate who puts in the wash, because there's always a few.
Nice.
There's not just one load, like I'm sure in your family. I mean, there's multiple. And so they take turns, like all three of us, who puts it in, who hangs it out, who takes it off the line. And the three of us sort it out.
That's very good, yeah.
Now, it doesn't always work like that, I'll be honest with you, but that's the best in class on a good weekend.
And I tell you what, I must say, when we harness the workforce of the kids,
yes,
you get a lot done.
Oh,
like, if
absolutely.
I send them in and go, please go and deal with that laundry. Like,
they do it.
They have a good time.
But they're just not, they generally don't do it of their own volition, but I just think it's important for them to get used to being active participants in their house.
Well, exactly.
I mean, they're That's old right. enough to make a mess.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They're old enough to clean it up.
Yeah, and you want them to leave home able to cook, able to operate a washing machine, change the sheets.
Oh, hello. That was really fun watching my son do that yesterday.
Iron a shirt.
Not the iron, but just trying to... He had trying to put on, it's not the fitted sheet. Yeah, is it the
fitted
one
sheet.
With the elastic?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was wrestling with that mattress.
Well, yeah,
I mean, it's not his first rodeo. Like, he's done it, but it's so funny watching him do it.
Well, I have to lie on it and put it around my foot.
Oh, is that
it's
your
so
technique?
Tight, and then.
Oh, do you do the star technique?
I did the star technique and I push it with my foot over the edge of the. I can't get the damn thing on. Like, I don't. No matter how
Could
big.
Could you maybe get a.
But
different
I keep
one?
Buying new, and they're all.
Oh, I've got
None
a couple that I can help
okay.
you with.
Okay, it drives me bonkers because I just think how...
Because Eco Down Under and IKEA have very good...
I have Eco Down Under.
No.
I love that brand.
I know, me too.
Love that brand.
It's one of those hidden
maybe
gems.
Maybe I've bought...
The wrong size?
Well, maybe I need New Zealand King.
Did you,
I don't know what New Zealand King is.
Do you have a King single
I've
or
got a
King?
King.
Because my Kings are fine for my King.
Okay, we'll take this off. This
okay.
is, I'm very confused.
IKEA do King as well.
What do they? Okay.
Yeah, very reasonable.
I love IKEA, don't they? That's such nice sheets.
Oh my God. I know. I looked at their towels last night online. They're really good. They're so affordable.
Oh, they're so good.
You know, I'm renovating.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I need a whole new everything.
Of course you do.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Including tea towels.
Oh my God.
To start again.
Totally. I'm with you. It's all in the detail.
Yes, exactly.
We so digress.
Ground up. Yeah,
oh my god, it's 100%. I can't wait to show you. It's going to be fantastic. Anyway, so they're my books.
All right. Well, I'll just do a quick run through. So, because I look, I don't think that my look, I had a reasonably good reading. Like, as in, I had a volume based reading summer, but in terms of standout. I read two books by William Boyd. I think he kind of churns out these books.
Yes, I have.
And they're kind of like good quality summer reads. That's how I describe it. So I read Restless, which
I've been meaning to read.
Very good. So sort of a woman and her mother, and the mother has kind of this sort of secret past from the war that sort of unravels over time, that kind of story.
Yep.
And the daughter's story is wound through it. Very nice. And Trio follows sort of three characters.
Right.
Enjoyed both of them. Yes. Churned through them. Good, really good.
Was it cerebral enough? Because sometimes summer reading can be a bit kind of light, which is like pool. I call it like the summer holiday pool reading.
Yeah, I would call it. No, I'd call it summer holiday pool reading, but a quality, quality on the page, as in it doesn't really stay with you beyond the closing of the book, but a book you want to pick up during the day, kind of.
So when we start to travel again, it's good for the plane, kind of. One.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Because I do struggle with trashy books. I don't mind a light read, but I hate it when the writing's bad.
You need good writing, but even for a light book.
Exactly. So both of those are good.
Right.
I read Anne Patchett's essays.
I love Anne Patchett. Yeah, and I haven't read her for years.
I was quite excited about this. I even bought it for my friend Sam and for her birthday, but I was really kind of underwhelmed by the essays, and I love an essay.
And then because you had such high expectations from
The other books? I really did, and I thought they were. So she in the preface, she says how she kind of went back and kind of pulled out writing from over the years and sort of worked out what would work in the book and what wouldn't, and polished it up. So I did hear her speaking on Conversations, and that kind of got me interested.
Mm.
But then I did think the essay writing was a little bit, it did feel a bit like she'd pulled it out of a cupboard and rehashed it a bit. So it might be unnecessarily harsh, but it did remind me of Tegan Bennett Daylight's essays. She's an Australian writer.
Oh, okay.
And we've mentioned it in the podcast before. And her essays are just so good, and there's so much depth in them, and just so beautifully crafted. And I thought that is a book of essays, and Anne Patchett could do a lot.
She could learn a bit.
She could learn from reading Tegan Bennett Daylight's essays.
So, one of the things that I love about this podcast is all these fabulous ideas I get from you. But then the problem is, then I come in and read them. I do read some books that are different from you. But,
well, I think you'd love that, the one that Tegan's book. It's beautiful. And at the moment I'm reading, again, this is another light read, but this is just an absolute gem.
Sometimes we need the light read.
And so
there's a lot going on in the world.
That's why I'm mentioning it, because I reckon better to pick up a book than your phone half the time, because we only read the news and feel sad.
Which I know I watch way, way, way too much TV, because it's just easy as an escapism, and I want to get back into the lighter reading, because I find sometimes you need that stillness.
You need the stillness, but also like you tend to read the news, or I don't know, but it's just, we don't need that.
No.
So Elizabeth Jane Howard, The Cazalet. Cazalet? What would we say?
I don't know.
English.
Is it French?
English. Oh. Chronicles.
Yeah.
So I picked this up in Kunikunia, one of the two trips we did during the holidays. Mm. Favourite outing, Kunikunia.
What did you do these holidays, kids? We went to the bookshop.
Oh, God, love it. Love it. So it's an absolute highlight. And it's set in it's late 1937, 1938. So we're lead up to the war. English, like upper middle class family, that kind of thing. Perfect BBC, would make a nice BBC series. Probably has been, actually. But it's got this kind of rambling structure. So there's no real plot, and we follow just about every character.
Yep.
And you're in their mind, so it's the point of view.
It's a bit like the still life thing.
It's a bit like the still life thing. It's a pretty hard thing to pull off, all those, from the guy that drives the family around in the car to the maids to the... So very
different
upstairs, downstairs kind of thing. But it's just a lovely book and serious. And it was written, I think, she was getting old by the time she wrote it in the 1990s. So, but some, proper issues in there too. So it's not you know, it's like serious stuff in right. there as well. But okay. really, what an absolute gem. And I think there's a whole series of them. So I've got it in my bag and I just keep picking it up every spare second I have. So, nice. In the car or whatever. So that was a highlight. And there's a bunch of others I'm not even going to mention. But I will tell you about
yes.
After Story, Larissa Brent. I'm listening to that on Audible and that's Fabo.
How do
yeah.
I know that?
So Aboriginal girl like a sad sort of story background. So she goes with her mother to England
mm-hmm.
and kind of goes on this English author tour. Mm. And as they go on the tour, this sort of backstory unravels and right. the mother's voice and the daughter's voice. And it's just beautiful and beautiful, beautifully actor spoken, whatever, on the Audible. Because sometimes it doesn't work. Yeah, often doesn't work.
When you do the Audible. Actually, that reminds me, I did listen to something on Audible. I totally forgot. I listened to Matthew McConaughey, Green Lights.
Oh, okay.
Which, the only reason I listened to it, because, I mean, look, he's an actor, he's kind of cute, like, don't love all the movies he's in, he's a bit whatever. But listening to one of our favourite podcasts ourselves and things we follow and watch is the Chats 10 Look 3.
Oh, yes, yep.
And Lee Sales raved about it.
I did
and
I hear thought, it, so that, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm intrigued. So someone of such intellectual caliber says, I love this. I went, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And you know what? It actually wasn't half bad.
Really? Like, I like a gossipy Hollywood.
No, it's not. He actually is quite deep.
Oh, is he?
He's actually quite smart. Oh. And surprisingly.
I'd rather gossip.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I know. You're like Charlotte from Sex and the City. He just wants the gossip mags. No, that was Miranda. Sorry. That was anyway. That makes sense because you're the lawyer. but no, it's
more... We should talk about that too.
We should, yeah.
Reboot, yeah.
It's on, yeah, it's on my watching list. So there is an element of just his life growing up and how interesting it was.
Really?
And he grew up in the South and the world that he lived in. And he, you know, built this massive four-story treehouse at night over the summer by stealing wood from a wood
Is he
barn.
Slightly annoying?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I thought it would be.
Oh, okay.
But he actually has this really lovely, positive... but quite spiritual outlook on life.
Oh, sounds annoying.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I liked it. Good. Okay. You know what? I listened to it in the car in between school pickups or going to meetings or going places. And it was one of those you could dip in and out. And it was, you know, it was
light.
Well,
got all my free credits on. You get so many credits on all. I can't keep up with the Audible
same.
Credits. So I may as well give it a cracker.
And I did listen to a couple of other things now that I'm thinking with Audible as well. I can't remember what they are. A couple of, like, not self-help, but like business books and stuff like that I've been reading. So that's been quite good. Anyway, Green Lights. I don't know. I mean, you're going in a little, like, cynical. May I suggest try it?
Yeah, okay.
And see.
All right.
But go in knowing that it's not meant to be life-changing or the most well-written book, but it's kind of, it's interesting. It's not what you would think it would be.
Right, okay.
Is basically it. But can I tell you about the three books that are on my bookshelf, one of which I actually know, I think you'll be interested in all of them and you're very welcome to. One of them is an older book, but... the Geraldine Brooks Power of the Book.
Power of the Book. Yeah. Oh, hang on, it's an old one.
Yes, it is. So I got that one for Christmas as well. But very, very excited. Love her work.
Yeah,
she's such a great author. So really just interested. I think that's, of course, not a light read, but like a good read. So that'll be good. Now, do you remember last year or the year before? No, it was last year. Another one in my top five books was Overstory by Richard Powers. He's got a new book.
Oh.
Bewilderment. Don't buy it because I've got it.
Okay.
I will lend it to you.
I didn't get anywhere with Afterstory.
Oh, really? Okay, so this one's
Overstory.
Overstory. So Overstory is the one with the trees and the connection. And so this one is similar in that it has that ecological connection, but it's different.
Okay.
But it still has that whole kind of Sarah Winman.
He's prolific, isn't he?
He is. But it's not as thick. Overstory was super, super thick. This one is like more regular.
Protective.
Here, we can put your coffee cup there.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to my girlfriend in the States, who's read it and loved it. And she did love Overstory, though. But she said this one's a very different style. But still that whole very minutiae and then big picture and minutiae.
Okay.
So that style, which... I like the details in the ordinary. Like, I like people's observations of the day to day, and that's kind of
I do feel like I should go back to that. I don't think I was in the right headspace, and I didn't commit to the book.
It's a big book, and you do need to commit, but I did love it, the overstory. So that's on my bookshelf next, The Bewilderment. And then the third one, Emil Towles, came out with a new one,
Lincoln Highway. Yeah, that's on my list too.
I've got the book.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I was going to say, I'll lend it.
Okay, let's read that before the next.
Okay,
let's mini book club. Okay, let's
That'll be my
that
next one.
Okay,
excellent.
Done.
So that's on my to do.
Done.
And as for watching, talk to me.
Okay, quickly.
Yes.
Succession. I finally.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So intense.
So good. And it finished.
And now there's a new one come out.
Well, then I thought, what are they doing today? Like, I feel like they're real. And then I was thinking I was missing them.
But they just came back.
It's so revolting.
But season 6 has just launched.
Is it on now?
Yeah.
On TV?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Shimoli.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I just have to leave now.
Bye. I have been holding back.
Landed?
I believe so.
Okay. Wow. Okay, that's great. Okay, so that, I don't, I
mean,
everyone
will. It is so bad, but so good.
How good is the Culkin... Macaulay Culkin's brother. What's
incredible.
Insane. Like, you can't believe he's not...
I know.
I mean, the others, like, there's actorliness about
them. So, you know Midge? Midge? The girl. Siobhan. So, I watched, which I can't believe I'd never watched before. What's it called? The Dressmaker? So, that's the Australian one. With Kate Winslet. It was one of my... It's middle of summer. I've got nothing to do. I don't want to go outside. COVID is everywhere. I want to stay in. I want to watch a movie.
Perfect movie for it.
And I stumbled across it. And she's one of the... And she starts off being, like, really fugly. They make her really ugly. And they're, like, schoolmates. And then she blossoms into the Miss Magnificent. And she is beautiful.
Oh, I do.
And I was like, oh, my God, there's she...
And she's in American Pickle. Have you seen that?
Yes. Oh, my God. Such a... I didn't know she was in that.
Yeah, she's the wife in The Village.
Of course. Sorry. Please carry on.
No, that's
Succession,
all right. No,
amazing.
Succession, and Master Dogs is very cute on ABC, if you like dogs. Oh, that's very cute.
Is it?
Doco.
Love dogs.
Five working dogs get sent out across the country.
Oh, I did see that
that's
on iView.
That's very cute. Four Eps.
Nice.
Very cute.
Okay.
Watch with the dogs.
And did you watch with the kids or just the dogs?
Just the dogs.
Oh, the dogs liked it?
Millie was a bit worried, so she kept going under the couch, growling at the TV. Very, very worried about that.
I love when the animals get engaged.
We're actually kind of getting, like, all got nervous.
Yeah, Oscar was...
Being sent out to work.
Oscar, my cat, was watching the Australian Open.
Oh,
he loved it. There was a moving ball. He was like, this is awesome. Seriously. He was watching the Nadal-Medvedev game.
Oh, my God.
And,
did you watch till the conclusion?
No, watched two sets and then we were out. I mean, there are people who are committed, but I was like, it's okay.
I was committed, but I did snooze off in the last, like, critical bit.
Five sets. I mean, I actually almost want to watch it now, knowing how important the match was. And I'm not a big sports person. Like, I know you are with all your AFL and whatever, but... I'm not really that much. And I know the Winter Olympics run, so I'm loving the figure skating and the high jump. Like, there's certain sports I will watch, and basketball now with my son. But tennis, no, I've never really been into it. But I did watch the Ash Barty, which was amazing. And then I watched the men's final and, well, maybe an hour and a half. And then I was like, okay, I've had enough.
We're
Mary Poppins.
Okay, can we just quickly
talk
what
about
Sex and the City?
Oh, yeah.
Just
like that.
Okay, so I was disappointed, but I did watch the doco at the end where they do the clothes, and that was so good.
How good were the clothes?
Oh, my God, the clothes are just a whole separate character. But what I mean, I kind of thought, that was kind of what I expected, but what did you think?
Look, it could get better because I actually think it started off okay, then got bad, and then it kind of improved towards the end.
It sort of hit its stride a bit.
It did, and that's why I'm hoping it continues.
Yeah, it felt like old-time Sex and the City.
But a bit more natural, and they kind of found their own rhythm. We had 4 days when we thought we had COVID, and so we were in lockdown because my son and I had all the symptoms for, like, 2 days and then it went away. And then we had negative tests the whole time, and then our GP said, no, you're fine. So in those 4 days, I watched because I actually was on Raw for the first couple of days, the entire original Sex and the City.
Okay.
From beginning to end.
I just went back and did the first few eps, actually.
And I'm telling you, having watched that and now kind of interspersed that with the Just Like That, what I didn't realize, the reason they call it Just Like That is because that's what Carrie Bradshaw often says at the end.
Just Like That.
And Just Like That, something happens, like whatever. And there's, I picked up on a lot of things that at, because I haven't watched Sex and the City since probably it came out. It actually is total crap on one hand.
Total crap. Yeah.
But on the other hand, it addresses, and what I liked about Just Like That, it addresses topics about women, sex, partners, children, aging now in Just Like That, that I don't know any other show that does that.
Yeah,
they do
also,
broach topics that are
all women.
Fascinating.
It was all women.
Yeah, they were all the leads.
And they were the leads, and they were leads in life as well as,
in,
you know, so
everything.
It was, that's why we liked it at the
well,
time, right?
That's
like,
it.
Was really, and you have to hand it to Sarah Jessica Parker. Like, she is really good in that. Like, she's really good.
She
like,
is
she's,
very
You feel
very
like
good.
She's real.
Oh, I feel like,
as a real
yeah.
character.
Like that, I feel like she is Carrie. But,
yeah.
So I did like, you know, yeah, so I think it just, it doesn't necessarily broach the topics well. So like how Miranda decides to divorce and like, it's just that simple. Like seriously, like, I'm sorry, I've been through that. And I'm telling you now,
so,
that ain't anything like what
so
it's really
half an
like.
Episode.
Yeah, sure. 2 hours later, everybody's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
But the point is, it still does broach topics of what happens when you meet someone who's not of the same gender and how do you deal with that?
Exactly.
Or, you know, getting older and just, you know, what's acceptable and what's not.
Like, quite, like how they dealt with age. And
yeah, or the fact that your children then decide that they're non-binary, or like there's a whole range of topics around things that I think I like that they're bold and brave enough to broach them.
It was good. It just felt a bit like a shopping list of topics.
Oh, yeah, it
topics.
Was too much.
Yeah, it was too much.
They could have done
much.
Half.
They don't do
and
subtlety.
And spread it
well.
Out.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been better. Like the menopause, the perimenopause, menopause things. I mean, so funny.
Jam in.
But it's
50,000 topics.
But that's it. But, like, you could just, you know, almost like, just relax, people. Like, you can do this. Like, let's spread it out. But otherwise, you know, it's good crap.
Good crap.
Good
yeah.
crap.
It's, also, it's, if you watch the documentary, I do think she should have kept the hat.
I haven't got to that
okay.
bit.
Watch that bit.
Okay.
I thought, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay.
What
so,
else?
Oh, okay. Just quickly on viewing.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a family.
Ah, yes.
Family viewing each
yep.
night on the holidays with
yes.
the cousins. And, you know, Die Hard, of course, for Christmas.
Yeah,
Princess
what is it
Bride.
About Die Hard? Okay, so I've never watched it.
Oh,
and apparently it's a Christmas
it's
movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Is
it's,
it?
Yeah, it's
How?
A Christmas movie. What happens on Christmas Eve. But
oh.
it's really, it's so cheesy. And then they went on
okay.
to watch all the Die Hards, which just are terrible. But the first, you have to, next Christmas, you can't obviously watch it during the year.
Okay,
but next
so,
Christmas,
so I'll save it for next Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next,
we did watch a fair bit of James Bond ones because we actually went to the movies in that brief
oh,
lull.
Oh, yeah.
In November, I think,
we're,
I think it
we're
was.
We're at the movies at the same night.
I
you're
think
in a different
so, that's
cinema,
right.
But
that's right. I remember
I spent
that
whole time stressed out because that movie cinema was so packed.
Yeah, most people were not wearing masks, even though we did, and we slipped the popcorn underneath. But, yeah, so watch lots of James Bonds as
oh, okay.
well with the kids
well,
and
that's a,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, the un-PC.
Like Octopussy and,
so un-PC.
Yeah.
But can
what
I tell
else?
You the highlights? First of all, Princess Bride. A couple of the kids haven't seen it.
No
so
way.
That's, that holds up, so well. Holds up so well.
So well.
And The Big Lebowski. When was the last time you watched
so
The Big Lebowski?
So funny. Well, actually, I watched it 6 months ago because
so
I'd never seen it.
Oh, my God. And,
my
pal
was like, what are you kidding me? You've never seen the movie. So we watched it.
And that's
it.
A movie that keeps on giving. Like,
it
it's
is.
Such a, I love that character. He just
is
asks,
he not amazing?
And he's one of those, like,
because he's got the same name thing and then he goes to the guy's house.
I just love
and,
it. And he doesn't want anything in life
nothing.
Except for bowling and
yep.
his rug.
Yep.
And when but he has, but I love that his hard line is don't take away my bowling my rug.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
It's very simple.
And if you take it away, I'll get it back. And the John Goodman character
love
is
John Goodman.
And that brilliant line at the end where they're about to have that big punch up
yep.
and he goes, don't worry, they're nihilists, they won't hurt you. I don't know if you've said that. Just so confident that no, they're nihilists, they won't hurt you. Anyway, just that was an absolute standout. Like brilliant.
Classic.
Okay. And Drive-In. Dramana Drive-In. This is Melbourne.
There is a drive-in.
Yeah, it's the
Oh, it's
same,
not the movie.
No, it's the
you
same.
You went to a drive-in.
We went to a drive-in twice.
Oh, do you,
and
how do you
oh my God.
Get sound? Do
so
they have the thing
I,
that connects
I,
to your car?
The last time I went to this drive-in,
yeah.
I was 5-6 years old. It has not changed at all, except I think they've painted it. But even when you drive through, it says, please have correct change ready and put on your parking lights. Like, it's actually got the old 1960s.
How cool is that?
Everything. You drive in and all the hardcore drive-in people know what to do. So they back up their car.
Right.
Open the boot.
And you
get their chairs out. Right. And then you have a radio.
Oh, so you don't sit in the car.
Well, you can.
Right.
But if you know what you're doing.
Oh, it's still on the radio frequency.
No, it's not on the radio frequency anymore.
How does it work?
Sorry. Yes, it is. But you can't do it on your phone. You've got to do it through the car. So you have to spend the whole time turning the car on and off, like every 45 minutes or whatever. But you can just get a radio, like an old-fashioned radio, and tune in.
Oh,
so
we
scrummaged around and found. But people get on their roof. They've got the full, like, setup. You can take your dog.
God.
It was just so fun. And, of course, I fell asleep.
Are they driving in Sydney?
I don't know. This is just a classic. They were packed out. You had to book.
Well, it's very COVID friendly.
So COVID friendly. Seriously. It was a highlight for the kids.
Such a great summer thing to do.
The kids thought it was so cool.
I might look into that.
Packed snacks in the car. Anyway, that was brilliant.
I love it. Love it.
And my last big thing I'll tell you before I've been dominating here if you get Matisse.
Have you gone to the Matisse?
Yes.
You went to the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
I went to the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
It was Liz.
It was no one there.
I'm impressed that you went.
And
I definitely went.
I went with Mum, and it was just gorgeous, just beautiful. Like just the colour.
I've been meaning to go. I think it'll go on for a little bit.
Yeah, it's till March. It's till March.
Okay, so we'll go.
Oh my God, I'll come again. I'll totally go again if you want to go.
Absolutely.
Brilliant, brilliant.
I love Matisse.
I mean, it talks about his, like, joy of life and colour and what he does. And then at the end, he's quite ill and he can only cut out shapes. And so famous blue figure with a white background is actually paper.
Yes.
And when you go up to it, you can't, like, it's so much, like, it's fluid and moving, and it's, then you look and it's just bits of paper stuck together, and it's just kind of extraordinary. It's extraordinary. So...
Oh.
That was.
Yeah. I saw a Matisse, and I wonder if it's a similar exhibition in London. Again, sounding snobby. When I was in London 7 years ago, I can't remember if it was the V&A or which one it was. Anyway, it was such a beautiful exhibition, and I took my kids, and they loved it because it's so child friendly.
It really is gorgeous.
It's really good with the kids, and his work is just. I mean, who doesn't love Matisse?
Who doesn't love it?
Matisse is magic.
Beautiful. It's from the Pompidou Centre.
Maybe I saw it when I was in Paris then.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, check it out.
Okay.
Fabo.
Nice one.
That's me. I'm tapped out now.
You tapped out?
Yeah.
Boop. Next.
Yeah, over to you.
So, because I'm so classy, I discovered one of my favourite TV shows of all time, Upper Middle Bogan. No, seriously. Have you ever?
Well, I told you
we
started it with the kids, and it's just like a sex scene to kick it off, and everyone was really uncomfortable when we went.
You have to watch it.
Right.
Okay, move on past that.
Okay.
It is, Australians do this so well, where they capture the upper class, i.e. us.
Prude intrude.
The eastern suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne.
Versus the western or norwest of Melbourne, or western for Sydney suburbs, the Bojans. And... or Bogan, sorry.
I thought that was on purpose.
It is, Bojan. Actually. Oh. We call it Bojan, darling. It's like the House of Tajay. No, only joking. So the mum, with how she drives her black BMW and all the rest and whatever, and like without... I will cast aspersions on myself. Oh my God, I feel like I'm her so many times. I'm not as neurotic as her by any means, but there's the scene about sending their son off to a camp and what you do for your child, send them off to a private school camp. Oh my God. I was crying with laughter, crying. And my children, sorry, my loves, very similar to their children, despite not being twins. We all watch it with the kids. It is... Everyone loves it. We go back to it. We laugh. We even watched it last night.
Really?
Just as a quick dive in for something funny. Oh. It is hilarious.
Okay, because we're third round of Parks and Rec. We cannot do that again. So
with Parks and Rec, so we've been watching The Office is the other one, which is the other addicted, the American one. And now the daughter is loving Parks and Rec. And we started watching it. I'm like, I actually can't. Like, I don't even... The Office is okay. I like it's... bearable, but I've hit Parks and Rec and I'm like, okay, I've hit my limit. I cannot. But Sasha's, I mean, my daughter, she's just like,
Okay.
But anyway, so that's been really fun. And then I'm going to go a little deep. And then I will raise and finish off on a high. How's that?
Okay. That's good, yes.
So I watched a friend of ours is a producer in a documentary called The Bowerville Murders, Mr. Dan Goldberg from Mint Productions. Yes. And so it is all about three Aboriginal children who disappear and get murdered and how the case is never solved and nobody is charged, and they have suspects and they have this whole thing, but due to loopholes in the legal system, that this person keeps eluding any kind of outcome, and it follows them through to today, and it's just blood boiling stuff. It's like,
really?
So
where do we watch this? What's this on?
It was on SBS On Demand for a while, I think, or on Ivy, one of the two, but I'm sure you can Google it. It's like in My Blood It Runs. Sure if you can go to the website, you can access it somewhere. I'll find it, pop it in the show notes. It is so reflective of the incredible injustices in the world in which we live in today. It reminded me of In My Blood It Runs, and in preparation, because I do a little preparation for today, I did, and I have been following, as a result of watching In My Blood It Runs about Dwan and the whole incarceration of children at the age of 10 in Australia, there is the Raise the Age lobby group, which I'm part of, and last year there was a massive lobby to the Australian government to raise it to 13. But then the United Nations came on top of that and said, no, we want the minimum global age of incarceration, or to be able to take children to court and be charged like adults, is 14. And Australia rejected it. And we're still at 10. We are still at the age of 10 years of age. And it's great, Mr. Perrottet, that we've got an Aboriginal flag on the top of the Harbour Bridge, but seriously, like, there is so much systemic racism and it still exists today, and it just, you know, this is the kind of stuff that makes my blood boil.
And that's a reminder to watch In My Blood It Runs if you haven't seen it, because it's just...
And with your children, if,
with
like,
your kids,
absolutely need to understand that these are children their age, that if not younger, that are going through these horrific things.
If they're in this situation where they think they have to incarcerate kids, it's such an appalling social justice failing of what is happening in those communities that you've, you know, that we've destroyed the culture, we've destroyed the connection that,
absolutely.
You know, and then just like, go, okay, we'll just chuck them in jail. That's the best we've got to offer, like, seriously.
100%.
It's really, really confronting.
So that made my blood boil. But such an important documentary to watch.
Okay.
And I really...
I'm definitely going to watch that.
And then just as a quick sidebar, the whole Grace Tame thing from last week. If Scotty from marketing seriously gets back into power, Australia, I don't know. Like, seriously. I was devastated last election, but we really, 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 really need to change gears.
Have we not moved on from women having to smile and... make nice? Like, do we have to do that? Like, seriously? Like, good on her.
Yeah, I could not agree more. So that was a sort of like a nice segue into another topic, which will then segue me into something else I've been rewatching, but I love it, and it's such a brilliant show, Mad Men.
So never
it
got
is
there
such an amazing show. I'm rewatching
from
second
beginning?
Time from beginning. And what I love about it is that how it takes the snapshot of life and all the changes, the socio-political changes from the 60s through to the 70s, and how formative those ages and times were. There's a scene when the daughter, who's like 8 years old, runs into the lounge room as the two mothers are sitting in the kitchen having a cigarette, and she runs in with the laundry plastic covering, like the dry cleaning laundry, and the mother goes, "Sally Draper, if my laundry is on the floor..."
Not that she's got a plastic bag over
her
head.
The fact that she's got a plastic bag over her head is not the issue, but literally from head to toes, because this kid's little, right? If there's a... there will be trouble. So the daughter goes, runs out and goes back and puts the laundry up. Or they're driving and they have a small accident, and then you think that the mother's having like this kind of like, you know, sometimes they do scenes where they just have like dream sequences, because she looks back and there's no children. Do you know why there's no children after they have the accident? Because they're curled up on the floor because they don't do seatbelts. And they're fine, but and it wasn't a bad accident. But yeah, like it's just like this whole world of time that's encapsulated in the detail from the bottles and the cereals and the food they eat and the amount of cigarettes they smoke and the clothes.
The inside smoking.
It was a bit like the newsreader, like the detail was like the bowl of matches. I'm like, I remember the bowl of matches.
And everywhere you went smelt of smoke.
Everywhere. Everything was smoke.
Going to my dad's office and the overwhelming smell was smoke because everyone was smoking.
And beige, brown, and orange was the color in the 70s.
Coffee with the
Click, click. Cafe, I love it. There was a coffee cafe bar, and then you'd have the milk, the powdered milk, and then you'd have the hot water.
So great that machine.
Favorite thing of going to parents' work, the coffee mate.
Cafe bar, so good. That was a real innovation when that came about.
Oh my god, that was like the pre-Nespresso of our generation. So that's what I love. Mad Men is like nostalgia. Because it takes me back, okay, I wasn't alive in the 60s, mind you, but or child living, but still was close enough that I remember things or was close enough in my sort of early childhood. And I don't know, the nostalgia bit and also just the whole socioeconomic, socio-political stuff is fascinating. A lot about women and work, about, you know, everything going on, politics and segregation and just, yeah, and racism, overt sexism, overt racism. It's brilliant.
Okay.
So love. And my last thing, because I know how much you love to dance, Liz. So I uncovered this over Christmas.
Few opportunities.
And there is a very exciting movement happening in the United Nations right now. UNESCO is voting and it looks like it will happen to preserve techno.
Oh my God.
As a World Heritage art, particularly the clubs in Berlin. And there is an amazing documentary. I'm going to post it on the show notes. It's like 15, 20 minutes. It's their UNESCO submission
about
techno.
Oh, my God. It's like an historical.
No. It is fascinating. It talks about how techno was born. And I know that a lot of us think like Carl Cox and a lot of it's Detroit and that kind of. Oh, no. Berlin, baby.
Berlin.
I always knew Europe was more at the heart of techno than America. But let me tell you, the history of like the East and West Germany and that whole in the late 80s, and that's really when techno came to life, and a lot of it was fed through the whole unification of Germany, and they created these incredible spaces for Germans to come together and shed their skins of communism and politics and just unite in music. And no matter your age, your gender, your sexual inclination, whatever it is, everyone's welcome. Everyone's equal. Music brings everyone together. And that's the premise of it.
Do you know
it.
The saddest thing about you telling me that is? When I backpacked around with my friend in the 90s, mid-90s, early 90s, we danced our way around Europe,
I
as you do.
That.
But
of
Berlin, we were really tired and worn out and sick. So we decided we had what we called a Berlin holiday, which meant we just stayed in our backpackers bunks for 2 days and later found out
it's the best place.
Missed it.
Okay, so
Berlin holiday.
May I suggest let's go to Berlin.
Go to Berlin.
We'll go to Berlin and have a techno holiday. Especially once it's listed on the UNESCO.
How fun would that be? Dancing in Berlin.
Oh, it is. I mean, look, that's what I love. For me, raves. Haven't been to a rave forever, by the way.
Apart from your lounge room.
Yeah, my lounge room's always a rave. We always do have a good dance there. Even bring in the DJs occasionally. Yes, DJ Chucky, she was a good find. That's what I love about dancing. It brings people together. The music is just happy. It's uplifting.
Yeah,
everyone's welcome. Total inclusivity. Doesn't matter who you are, age,
such a natural,
gender.
A natural human thing to dance. Like, I really think...
We need to dance more.
Of it. Yeah.
Yes.
It was actually really cute. We should probably finish up. But it was really cute the other day. I was walking the dogs in Centennial Park and some people had booked an area like what we're sitting in here.
Yeah.
And they had techno on and they were just dancing in the park in 11 o'clock in the morning. There was probably 50 people, all ages, just dancing in the park.
Should we do this?
Why not?
Let's have a party.
This is really cute.
No, I'm serious.
They had their dogs tied up. And
oh, bless.
let's workshop that.
Oh, we workshop yes. That. I think we could do that.
Well, we should probably go on the okay. dance, high note of dancing.
Yay! It's been a very up and down potty, it's hasn't well it? It's been like a covered a lot of so ground.
Long. We won't leave it so long.
No, we won't. I think what we might need to do is schedule. We'll pop it in the diary every 4 weeks. Yep. We'll just do it okay. and then it just happens because Mondays are good, aren't they?
Mondays are good. Okay. We'll good. See you back in March.
Yes.
By then we'll have watched Mrs. Maisel because it's coming back.
What do you mean? Season yes. 4.
Come back, Feb.
Shut the front door. Back the truck up. Are you kidding me?
Come back.
Oh, my God. Tits up.
Tits up. All right, on that note.
Tits up, people. Tits up. Stay optimistic. Bye.